Chapter 12. And I'm going to ask the question and try to give some answers here. Whose side are you on? Matthew 12, I'm going to read one verse here. And then I'll read a couple others, one in Matthew 6. Matthew 12 and verse 30. Jesus says, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now go back to chapter 6 of Matthew. This again, if you've got a red letter Bible, these are all red letters. It's Jesus' word. However, the red letters are not more scriptural than the black letters. All scripture, if it's scripture, is given by inspiration of God. So here in verse 24, chapter 6, Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," which is money, material things, as Brother Randy just talked about, gaining things. That's what he's talking about. So Jesus says it's pretty cut and dried, either or, one side or the other. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. The problem today is with everything that's going on. And there's a lot going on in this world that you just, I'm an old man. I never dreamed that I would ever live to see what I'm seeing daily. Never dreamed. Oh, I knew things were going to get rough. I knew that. I just can't believe they got here so fast. And they're getting about worse every day. Now, what Randy was reading there in Revelation, that's all the way to the end. And that's what a child of God has to look forward to, when all of that shall disappear, tears and all that. But it won't disappear for everybody. It will only disappear for those who are in Christ. Well, that's pretty severe. That's pretty non-inclusive. What's the big letters? Do they got so many of these letters? DEI, is that it? Diversity, equity, and inclusivity. Those are the things that, and that includes, you've got to include everybody in everything. But the Bible doesn't do that. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." And he said, you can't serve two masters. You either hate the one, that's choose the one, and despise the other, or the vice versa. There is a differentiation in this world. Now, say, well, you all are just a cult. No, we're not really a cult. We're people who have built a worldview off of the Bible. Now, what is a worldview? How you look at the world. And let me tell you that there is a great difference in how people look at the world. Now, there really is only two views. You can look at the world how the world looks at the world, or you can look at the world how the Bible looks at the world. Well, if you have a biblical Bible worldview, then that means that, number one, you believe in the thrice holy God, the Creator God, that God exists. So, well, nobody's ever seen him. Don't have to see him. If you walk out and you see a watch laying on the ground or lying on the ground, Do you have any notions that that watch invented itself, made itself, and it just randomly is there? Nobody's got a lick of sense would ever think that, would they? I wouldn't think so. But you know what? That's what they teach all of our school children right now. That this whole universe made itself. There was a every bit of matter was reduced to like a dot on a paper. That's the Big Bang Theory. And that all of a sudden, for some reason, that dot dramatically exploded. And that's how the universe came into existence. That's what all the so-called, most of the so-called scientific world, the educators of universities, high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, writers, newspaper writers, and all of that's how they all just automatically assume that's how the universe got here. That's the worldview of the world. And there's very few that don't have that worldview. No wonder we can't relate to them. Those that have a biblical worldview know from the Word of God, and this Bible, the 66 books, Genesis to Revelation, is the Word of God. And it is, every word is profitable and is accurate, whether it states something scientific, something historic, what genetic, whatever it states, it's right. Do you know that in all of these years, there has never been one word of this book ever disproven? Not one word. This is pretty good stuff, folks. I hope it's not boring you. But this, our worldview, that's where it comes from. And the beginning verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The very first verse, you don't have to read very far in there. So what does the Bible say that our worldview should be about how we got here? God, who is infinite, created everything that is. Then it goes on to give us the 6 days of creation. The evening and the morning were the first day. Well, that's a 24-hour day. And that's what it says. Now, I know there are people claim to be religious and believe the Bible that say, oh, no, that's indefinite ages. No, that's a lie. Amen. That's not what the Bible says. If you believe the Bible says that God did all that in 6 24-hour days. The evening and the morning were the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day. And God finally made man in his own image. That's when he made Adam from the dust of the earth. He made Eve from the rib of Adam. There were no people before that. And God made the earth to be inhabited. Well, you listen to the Willie Brown's woman and all that bunch. You listen to them and they'll tell you, oh, well, there were other races of people and everything way before Adam. That's all just a myth. And we all see when that big bang happened, then it rained and rained and rained and on the rocks, and then a little scum formed, and there was bacteria in there, and lo and behold, it rained and rained and rained, and all of a sudden, there came life. So what they tell our kids are, you came from pond scum, and that's all you are. God says he made us in his image. What a difference. Amen. My. If I thought I was made from pond scum, accidentally, randomly, I wouldn't have a very big opinion of myself or anybody else. But God gives us that, and that's exactly where we came from. All right, so we're talking about our worldview. Well, what about the stars and all the planets? Where'd they come from? Oh, God said that he made those also. And all in all, they're still being made. No, they're not. They're lying and telling you the stars are still being formed. No, they're not. I mean, they're lying about it, but they're not being formed. Nobody's ever seen a star form. Remember that. And the next time you hear one of those teachers or one of those idiots talking about how stars are being formed, no, they're not. You haven't, and nobody else has ever seen one formed. You might have seen one blow up, but you've never seen one formed. Well, according to the Bible then, God made everything in six literal days. And as you trace out the genealogies and all that and the dates that we know of in the Bible, that takes you back about to 6,000 years ago. 4,000 years before Christ. Oh, well, everybody knows that it's billions of years. No, they don't. They don't know any such thing. There's no evidence of that. You say, well, it looks like an old earth. How do you know what it looks like? It looks the same way as it's been looking since I've been in this world. Well, that's 80 years. I don't know this looks old enough to me. I don't think 6,000 years is young, do you? Wow, my goodness. I just had a taste of that time. 6,000 years is a long time ago. Well, you turn the clock back 500 years, you can't even relate to those people. Turn the clock back. This is 2024. Put it back at 1524. You read after those folks. You can't hardly read the English language from that time. Well, you get back with Beowulf and all that stuff. Well, you don't even recognize it as an English language. And get back far enough, there wasn't an English language. And you can't even relate to those people. So I'm talking about a worldview. Well, if God is, as the Bible says, then he absolutely sustains life. Well, you know what? I'm not a scientist. But I know that if you take two magnets and you put them equally, the equal charges, they repel each other. They must, one negative and one positive, they'll draw to each other. Remember the two little dogs we used to have, a little black dog and a white dog, and they had a little magnet bottom on them? And you take on a glass tabletop, and you put one dog, and you put the other one up under there, and there they would attract it, and you could move it top one with those magnets. Well, that's the very principle I'm talking about. All of the atoms in this world, they give estimates how many there are. I can't even tell you how big a number that is. But all of these atoms, when you get at the very center of them, do you know that according to what's there, there's no reason on earth that they should hold together? But they do. And the Bible, strangely enough, the Bible says that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. The word of his power. This is the word of God, the written word. Jesus Christ is the living word of God, and he is the express image of God the Father when he came into this world. And word, the Bible says that he spoke and it was done. How did God do all this? He spoke and it was done. Now, I can't imagine that much power, and you can't either. That's so far beyond my comprehension, but I do know it's true. But rather than honoring the eternal God, the creator God with that, they try to say it all happened by itself. And they say, that watch, that's not legitimate. You see, this world looks like there was a designer behind it. It just looks like it. Do you know that you're going to have heart examination, right? Now, they're going to go right to your heart, brother. Even if it's a new doctor, he's going to go right to your heart. And if it was me, he'd go right to my heart. If it's you, he'd go right to your heart. You know why? Because it's there. They know where it is. They know where everything is in that body. Because that's how we're made. They're not random. If it was random, your heart might be down there in your foot. What I'm talking about is having the proper world view. And the only proper world view is a biblical world view. Now, Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says something to the Pharisees. Now, understand the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they were the religious hypocrites. They had all of the religion, but none of the truth. And so in Matthew, what did I say, chapter 6, I went to 12, hang on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So he says that you cannot hold a balance between God and mammon and this world. Now certainly we have to take care of our responsibilities. Man got a wife, kids, got to take care of his family. Woman got a husband, got children, she's got to take care of her responsibilities. We have to take care of our responsibilities. There's no question about that. But you cannot have a life that is dedicated to all of that and not serve the Lord. You cannot do that. Now, the things that we've been seeing here lately, look at what happened at the Olympics. I hope nobody is watching the Olympics. I mean that seriously. If you're on Facebook or even on the news, you could see what happened at the Olympics. They had these homosexual so-called men who dress up like women, and they put on a play like of the Lord's Supper. You call it a spoof or whatever you want to. It was blasphemy against the Lord. Amen. And it's amazing how many people. Do you know Mitt Romney said he approved of it? What a turncoat. Now, you say, well, it's all right for men to dress like women. Oh, no, it isn't. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22. In verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, abomination means it literally makes the Lord sick. And there are several things that are abomination to the Lord. But there is one. Now, a lot of our old preachers, back when I first started preaching, while they went to seed, I was like, a woman can't wear slacks. And that's what that means. No, it didn't mean that. Not at all. It means that a man can't try to appear like a woman or a woman appear like a man. And you want to get in the New Testament, it even talks about the length of the hair. A woman can't cut her hair off like a man. She can't cut it short like a man. And a man must not have long hair like a woman. That's Old and New Testament truth. And I tell you, there are lots and lots of people that enjoy the entertainment of those what do they call them, drag queens? As a matter of fact, all over our country for some years now, they've been contracting those homosexuals dressing like women to come into libraries and read to little school children. What do you think they're trying to do by that? They're trying to infect all of those kids and make them say, oh, well, that's all right. No, it's abomination unto God. Amen. And it always has been. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. That's talking about going into the promised land. One book you seldom ever turn to, Zephaniah. Anybody know where that is? Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Zephaniah is just before Haggai. Verse 7, he says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. That's God's judgment. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guest. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. You think that fits today? Fits what's going on now? I think it most definitely does. And then look at 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 9, Paul says to the church at Corinth, this is New Testament times, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now that shows you the separation, doesn't it? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means everybody ain't going to go in. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that'd be men acting like women, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. See, that goofy singer from England, $3 bill. You know who I'm talking about? He's got a, it's on television, the advertisement. He's got some kind of a thing going, trying to take up money to prevent AIDS. I can tell him how to prevent it, and it won't cost him a nickel. Leave stuff in the toilet that needs to be there. Men with themselves abusing themselves with mankind. That's what that's talking about. And God says that they will not, neither nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, none of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. But some of you, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he says in that Corinthian letter, he says, some of you all were exactly what those are. He says, but you're not still in it. He said, you've been saved out of it, been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our worldview is a biblical worldview. And it says we understand what happened because the Word of God tells us in the Garden of Eden when God put Adam and Eve there, they were without sin. I don't think they were perfect. I think they were without sin. And I believe they had a free choice. They had a choice to choose. Brother Randy talked about that choice. They had a choice. But you know what? They exercised the choice. The only ones other than the Lord Jesus exercised complete free will. And he chose to sin against God. He chose to transgress the law of God. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. And God's law was, I'm going to put you in the garden to dress the garden. You may have all of the fruit that's there except one that's in the center of the garden. It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. I don't know what that fruit was. Obviously, they recognized that tree. And that's why the serpent came by Satan and he deceived Eve. And the lust of the eyes and the desire of the flesh, he said, God hadn't really said you can't have that. You'll really enjoy that, Eve. And she said, well, I think I'll try that. And she ate it. And then she gave it to her husband. He said, well, I ought not to be doing this, but I got to do what my wife says. You think that ain't still a problem? All woman wouldn't lead you astray from the Lord. Oh, yes, they will. Not all of them, but some of them will, just like men will lead a woman astray. We've got sin in the nature now. We've got it all in us. And when Adam ate it, the whole human race became sinful. Now, there's your biblical view. Men and women are not basically good. We are born with a sinful nature. And the way it's stated is that we are sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. Need to think about that, because let me tell you what, things are progressing, but be that as it may, you and I are going to die. Probably I'm going to die a lot sooner than you are because of my age. But that's not a guarantee. I look at the obituaries a lot. And I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds that's being buried right now. Even some younger than that. You look in Chicago, look at all of them. Look at them in Israel. When that Hezbollah shot that rocket on a playground, and they murdered 12 little children. They're in eternity right now. They'll never be back here, not in that shape. If they knew the Lord, they're with the Lord now forever. But if they didn't, they're burning in hell right now, and they will never get out of there. Never. So, we're talking about a worldview, a biblical worldview. Folks, there is no neutrality, none whatsoever. Let me give you a couple more scriptures. We're in Matthew. Look at chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Now, this is what Jesus is telling his apostles, his followers. In verse 16, he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, he's not talking about four-legged wolves. He's talking about two-legged wolves that are dressed up in sheep's clothing. In other words, they are heretics and enemies of God trying to destroy God's people. He said, "Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." We're not to take up arms and go into this world. We're to be harmless as doves, but we're to be wise as serpents, and we don't let them slip up on us. You remember David lamented because Joab killed, slipped up on him, got his fifth rib. Abner died as a fool. That's what David said. Abner died as a fool. He didn't recognize his enemies. We need to recognize the enemies of God. And the Bible, especially, well, the New and Old Testament, both is full of this. We need to know who are the enemies of God. Now, let me tell you what. Because they've got your blood flowing in their veins does not mean that they're on God's side. I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you. I'll tell you what. It ain't a pretty sight. It's not beautiful to behold. But you realize how many believers have had children, raised them up, and have died and gone to hell. So all of the efforts they put in those children, total waste. Wouldn't bring them to Sunday school and church, wouldn't expose them to the Word of God. They lived their whole lives, may have made big money, may have gotten rich in this world. But let me tell you what they didn't take with them. When they closed their eyes in death, they didn't take a dollar with them. We brought nothing into this world, and it's for certain we'll carry nothing out of it. Now, old Brother Ober used to say, you can send it on ahead by giving it to the Lord now. But other than that, you're not taking anything out of this world. You'll be just as naked going out of this world as you were coming into it. Anyway, so what does he say in Matthew 16? Did I read that? Verse 10, 16. Yeah. Verse 17, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. Now, he's talking about his apostles, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Now, that's already happened, but it's going to happen again, and it already is happening in many places. God's servants being persecuted. And look, if that woman gets elected, I guarantee you we're going to see some persecutions in this country because they're going to run an end run around our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Are already itching at the bit to do that. All them Democrats are trying to destroy the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and says you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speaketh, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. How far do I want to read? Okay. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. Now look at that. We're talking about family relationship here. And when the push comes to shove, the rubber hits the road, you got kinfolk that will turn thumbs down on you and throw you under the bus when it comes like it used to be with our Baptist forefathers. And they turned them in. Oh, yeah, they've got a Bible. Yeah, they talk about Jesus. They talk about God and all that. And they believe all that stuff. Okay. Then you'll see who will turn on. Oh, well, it's my blood kin. They won't turn on me. Ha, ha, ha. That's what you think. That's what you think. Look what Jesus said. He said, what will happen? The father shall deliver up the brother to death. The father, the child, the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved through all of that. All right, so now look at chapter 19 of Matthew. verse 29. Now, this is a verse that not many preachers read it in public. They would skip over it. Think about it. Jesus said, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, the last shall be first." Now look what that says. The Lord is honoring those that chose Him over all of those relations, including wives and children. Now, the Apostle Paul, he chose the Lord, Jesus Christ, over his family. He had no choice in the matter. They gave him no choice, but he made the choice himself. Because the Jew family, still today, when a Jew makes a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, his family or her family, they totally reject them. I had one out here one time, and her family, she was from New York, Jewish family. Her husband wasn't a Jew, but she was. But she told us that when she trusted the Lord and was baptized into a Baptist church, that her family held a funeral for her. So she said at that time, she's probably dead now, I don't know, it's been a while back. But at that time, there's a cemetery in New York that has a tombstone with her date of birth and her date of death on it. Because her family buried her. And so she lost her whole family. Now there, that lady had a choice to make. Will I choose my family, or will I choose the Lord? I'm telling you, you cannot serve God and mammon. I'm telling you, whose side are you on? I want you to love your children. I want you to love your family. But I don't want you to take sides with them against God. We need to understand who we are, and we need to understand what we are and what everything is. Now, when in the final analysis, if your child, if your parent, if your brother or sister is not a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, you'll have a lot to cry for when they die. Because they're going to die and go to hell. Your blood doesn't mean a thing. Not in theirs. The only blood that means a thing is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for all of the sins of all of His people. So our word is this: if you're not saved, repent. That means have another mind towards God. That means get in on that biblical worldview and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whose side are you on? Let's stand. Every head.